You're here with us and to serve our amazing, awesome God. You know, we serve a God that loves us just because. You know that? You know, He loves you regardless of what you do, how you live your life. He still loves you. You know what? And a God like that, I want to serve for the rest of my life. And I'm sure you're here this morning and you feel the same way. You just want to serve this God. You know, this morning we're going to continue our series. We're actually close to the end. Next week will be the final part of our series, which is fear factor. Is fear a factor for you? Is fear a factor for you in your life? And this morning is no exception. We're asked the same question. So I want to just go jump into the text this morning. So go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35, as we just jump in there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. For many of you, you're going to hear this passage, and you're just going to remember it. It's one that we hear often growing up. It's one that we hear if you grew up in church. It's one that you heard growing up in your Sunday school. If you haven't been in church, it's probably one that you've heard anyway. You know, it's one that I myself heard about and was acquainted with as I was growing up. So go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And by the way, for those of you who have your Bible on your phone, you have the Bible app on your phone, you can actually follow along with today's message and the sermon notes in there. You just have to go to your YouVersion Bible, and you can actually follow along with your electronic insert. So let's get into this passage. And in verse 35, it says this. It says, "That day when evening came, he," referring to Jesus, "said to his disciples, 'Let us go over the other side,' leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." If you have the Latin version, it says Jesus was taking a siesta here. And so verse 38, continuing there, says, "Disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.'" Literally, it means shut up, be still. "Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Verse 41, "They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves, they obey him.'" You know, when I read this passage afresh, I just couldn't help but think of that very storm. And maybe you're here this morning and you have a storm of your own. You have a stormy season that you're right in there. And so today's fear factor is, are you going through a storm? Is the storm a factor for you? Do you find yourself this morning just thinking, "Jesse, I'm in the middle of a storm, and I'm trying to paddle my way. I am trying to paddle my way out of the storm, but you know what? It's so hard." And you're thinking, "Oh no, what's going to happen? It's just chaotic. I thought it was going to be awesome, this journey, but you know, I'm just having to not only paddle away, but I'm having to even wear a life vest." And you're thinking, "Man, it is hard, Jesse. It's hard. Life is hard. I'm in a marriage that's kind of tough, you know. I'm really hoping this fits now. I think it fits." And so you're in life and you're thinking, "Man, I sure hope that I don't drown in this storm." And maybe you're here this morning and your business is going through a storm. You thought you were going to make it. You thought that starting a new business was going to be awesome, and then all of a sudden you were going to just be very prosperous, and you're finding yourself in a deep storm. You're trying to paddle out of it. It's not going as well as you thought it would. Maybe you're here this morning and it's your marriage. It's in a storm. And you thought that it was going to be great when you got married, because after all, isn't that what happens with marriage? You get together and it's all great. It's awesome, right? Until you hit week two. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a huge storm. And you find yourself in one of those mega storms. You're like, "Oh, I didn't know that about you." And it's like, the signs were there before. She didn't change. Or you didn't change. But you find yourself in there. You're trying to paddle in the way. You're trying to ask the question, "God, is this really what you want for me?" And it's too late. You're already in it. You know, you're in the storm already. Maybe you made some commitments in life. And you said, "I want to make this commitment because I feel God is calling me." And you find yourself, your commitment is wavering now. And you're there in your commitment and you're thinking, "I don't know that I can paddle anymore. It's a little stormy. It's a little tough." And maybe if it's tough, maybe if life is tough, maybe I should just bail. Maybe I should just leave the storm. This morning, we're going to talk about how to survive a stormy season, how to weather the storm. How do you survive a season that is just chaotic at best, destructive at worst? You're thinking, help me out. God, do I just abandon this boat? Much like probably the disciples were asking themselves. This morning, what I want to do is I want to share with you five principles on how to survive a stormy season. Five principles on how to survive a stormy season. Along the way, this will be our anchor passage, Mark chapter 4. But along the way, we're also going to touch other passages. And the first principle that you must know is this. Don't assume a scary situation means you've made a wrong turn. Don't assume that a scary situation means you've made a wrong turn. We hear it in this passage. We see it. They're here. They're just, it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Don't miss that. And then the storm came. Oftentimes we find ourselves in the storm. We think to ourselves, oh no, this is not God's will. God doesn't want me to be in this storm. He does not want me to be suffering at all. And all of a sudden, we start questioning ourselves. Have you been there? You see the stormy season in your life. It's not as comfortable as you thought it would be. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, I don't know that God really called me to this. And you start thinking, I must have made a wrong turn. But what if your stormy season is not a result of God wanting you to get out of it? What if it's not something that God wants you to say, you know what, it's too hard, I know it's too hard, I know you can't handle it, just go ahead and leave. What if that's not the case? The basic question we have to ask ourselves when we are in a stormy season is this: why am I here? And when you begin to ask that question, why am I here, only three options come out of that. And the first one is, God sent me here. That's the first option. God sent me here. I want to take you to a passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Because God may have brought you straight into this storm. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Fast forward to verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will, underline that passage, that phrase, suffering according to God's will. Whoa! Are you serious? According to God's will, suffering? Should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Do you mean to tell me that there are times where stormy seasons are God's will? And according to that passage, yes. There are times in life when the stormy season of that life means that God has brought that into your world to teach you something. Now the second option is that I messed up. We discovered that a couple weeks ago when we saw the message on skeletons in your closet. We saw that King David, here he was, and by the end of his kingship, we saw that his kingdom was just coming downward, and he was just having so many struggles. And his struggles, his stormy season, we saw in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, we saw that his stormy season was a result of him messing up. So sometimes the stormy season is because of us. Not always, but sometimes it is. Or the third option is, who knows? Who knows? Go to Judges chapter 1, verse 19. Judges 1, 19. I love this passage, by the way. You might want to even circle it or bend your Bible to see this passage, because here's Joshua and Caleb. They're coming into the promised land. God has promised them the land, and they're conquering all these people called the Canaanites. And they're seeing victory after victory after victory. Joshua dies. And Caleb, an old man at this point, 80-some years old, is coming into the promised land. And they're just seeing an immense amount of victory as they move forward. And then, Judges chapter 1, verse 19. I want you to notice this. It says, the Lord was with the men of Judah. Oh, relief, right? God is with us. It's not going to be any storms. It's awesome. God is with us. Uh-oh. They took possession of the hill country. Great. But they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had iron chariots. Whoa, wait a minute. No. God is with them. Shouldn't they have victory? When God is with you, shouldn't there be victory? But you see, there's as much value in failure as there is in victory, isn't there? And sometimes failure or stormy seasons are as much God's will into your life as the very storms, as the very successes in your life. And that's what we see here. That just because God is in your life doesn't mean that you're not going to have to paddle. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some strong, stormy seasons in your river that you're trying to go in through. It doesn't mean that. Because right here it says that God was with the people of Israel, with the Jewish people, and yet they lost a battle. They lost the battle. The second principle that we see in this passage is this. Stay on the path no matter how scary it gets. Stay on the path no matter how scary it gets. If you're in a scary season right now, stay in the path. We see it in verse 38, don't we? In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says this. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" Can you say scary? This is a scary thing. These are fishermen. They're the best of the best fishermen. They would have known how to navigate through storms. They would have known exactly what to do when the storm came about. But yet they're here. They're scared. They're like, what do we do? Why are you taking a siesta? Get up. Get up. Help us out. They could have jumped the boat and tried to swim to shore, but they don't. Sometimes you got to stay on the path no matter how scary it gets. You got to remember a couple of things, or keep in mind a couple of things. And the first one is this. If it's God's given assignment, hang in there. Don't quit. If it's God's given assignment to you, hang in there. Don't quit. Don't run. Let me show you in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, the end of that passage which we already read. It says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Wait a minute. It doesn't say that you're suffering according to God's will to jump ship. It doesn't say that. Shouldn't it say that? It doesn't say that. Does yours say that? Because mine doesn't. He wants you to stick it out. He wants you to stay there. If it's His will, if He's brought you in there, He wants you to hang tough. Don't run. Stay right there. He wants you in that boat. He doesn't want you to run. Keep in mind that the enemy will always offer a shortcut every time. Don't take it. The enemy will always offer you a shortcut. No matter what, it's going to present itself. You remember Jesus in the start of His ministry? And He's going out there in the wilderness. And the evil one approaches Him and says, hey, I know you're hungry. How about making some bread? How about making some tortillas and some beans? And it's going to be good. You know, the temptation is right there. Hey, I know you can just jump and angels will catch you. Right? There's a way out to this suffering. You've been hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. Come on. All this kingdom is yours. You don't have to suffer at all. Surely knowing of the suffering that Jesus was going to experience. You can escape all this. But when God calls you to something, you got to realize that the enemy will always give you a shortcut and you have to be careful to not take it. If it's a self-made mess, you got to remember that you got to accept the consequences. Sorry. If it's a self-made mess, they're all yours, baby. Those consequences. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 13 says that God disciplines those He loves. And sometimes we're going through stormy seasons because of our own making. We made some bad choices. We made some terrible choices. And along the way, we start telling God, why me, why this, why now? And he's like, look at yourself, knucklehead, you did it. And I love you too much not to discipline you. What do we do with our kids when they do something wrong? Do we give them a pass? Or do we discipline them? And why do we do it? It's not because for some of us, maybe for some of us not, but for some of us, it's not because we're like, yeah, come on now, mess up. You know, I want to get that belt, you know. Come on now, I'm looking at you. Make a mess of this. We don't do that, do we? Hopefully. If you do, I do have an opening on Monday I can counsel. But you know, we're usually not looking for, oh, man, I just want to punish my kid. It's discipline. We want to teach him something. And that's what God does with us. He loves you too much not to discipline you. He loves you too much. No matter how you got there in your stormy season, the way out will always, always include doing the right thing, telling the truth, keeping your commitments, and being concerned for God's reputation. It's always going to include those things, no matter how you got there. No matter how you got there. The third principle is this. Judge God's goodness by the cross, not by today's trial. Judge God's goodness by the cross, not by today's trial. Look at verse 40. We see that there. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, they're judging their circumstances and God's goodness by the way they feel at that time. How many times do we do that? We judge God's goodness by our circumstances instead of the cross, instead of Christ in there with us. In other words, your circumstances do. Guess what people do? We run, man. We just run. We're like, oh, storm, let me run from it. We just take the other side. We don't think about who's there with us. I don't think Marisa would mind me sharing this, especially since she's in children's ministry working right now. I did get her permission that one day I would share it, but there was this one day, and we were. I was at a small group. She wasn't feeling well. She stayed home that day, and a bat. We have a problem with bats in our house. Well, I say problem, but you know, we had too many, so we have had two bats in there. So that's a problem for me. But anyway, they kind of congregate, and by that it almost seems like they're like congregating like a church. They're holding hands, singing kumbaya. I think they are. They're just kind of waiting to get into the house. We have a little crack in our chimney, in the side and stuff that comes into the house. And so I was at Real Life Group, and she called, and it's like, you got to help me. There's a bat. I'm like, we're in the middle of prayer. We can pray for you, but I can't just go, you know. They're like, that's not going to help. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't do anything, you know. I'm here. By the time I get there, he's going to bite you all anyway, you know. I can't go. And I wasn't that. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating now, but the point was that I couldn't go. And I felt like, you know, I'll call Casey, our neighbor, and we'll coordinate that. So we called Casey. But along the way, when I got home, she was like, let me just kind of share what happened. I was like, sure. I'm all ears. Let me know. And he says, you know, when that bat came out, you know the first thing that I did? You know what I did first? I was like, what's that? I ran. I ran straight to the playroom. I was like, that's good. He's like, no. I ran. I pushed the kids aside, and I got to the playroom first. I closed the door, and they were banging the door. Mom, let us in! Is the bat there? Come in! I was thinking, what are you doing? I know I probably would have done the same thing. Just keep it between us. Don't share that with her that I shared it with you. It's our little secret. But isn't that what we do? It's like we don't care about anybody else. We're going to run. We're not going to care about our commitments. We're not going to care about other people around us. We're just going to tuck tail and run. That's our natural tendency. We have a tendency to do that. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to sit still. Wait for him to show up. Stay in the boat. The storm may not change, but stay in the boat. Don't run from it. God might just show you something about himself that you never thought you'd see God do. Fifth principle is this. There's often a way out. Sometimes it just takes a little while. There's always a way out. Sometimes it just takes a little while. For the disciples, it was just a snooze away. For us, It may take a little bit longer than that. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. What it is. He's trying to teach you some lessons through your storm. I want you to remember these two core truths. And the first one is, when facing temptation, we win by running from it. When facing temptation, we win by running from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says this. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. In other words, when you're facing temptation, the temptation is sin, the best thing to do is to run from it and cling to righteousness. Notice he doesn't just say flee from it. It says flee from something and pursue something else. Pursue the Savior. Pursue the Savior. But that's temptation. When facing hardship, we win by standing up to it. That's how we win. We win when facing hardship, not by running from it, but by standing up to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let that sink in for just a moment. Let that sink in for just a second right now. You know what? The evil one, he hates you. He hates you with a passion. He hates you more than anything else because you have a relationship with the Father that he doesn't have. He hates you. And he's prowling around like a lion trying to see how he can destroy you. But with the same intensity that he hates you, guess what? Somebody loves you. And that's Christ. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to go at it alone without him. In verse 9, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. In other words, as Satan attacks you, stand firm and take encouragement that there are other people out there that have their own storms, that they're paddling as well. They're suffering too, and they're out there. And guess what? Their suffering might be even bigger than yours. Their suffering might be 10 times as big as yours. Take encouragement on that. Verse 10, it says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The storms in your life, they're there for a little while. For some of us, it's a long little while. But the byproduct of this, according to this passage, is that they're there, they're going to make you strong, they're going to make you firm, they're going to make you steadfast. Don't jump the ship. Not if God has called you in there. Not if God has called you in there and he wants you to stay in there. Where are you this morning? Where are you at in life? Can you join us? I want you to take a moment here this morning. I want you to think about your storm. Let's pray. As you go before God, think about whatever storm you're facing. I want you to fix it on that storm. What is it? Is it your marriage? Is it your relationships? Is it your business? What is it? Is it your own struggles? Whatever it is. He wants you to give those things to him. For some of you, you're ready to jump ship. You're ready. You're ready to jump ship and do your own thing and just go to something more peaceful. But God hasn't called you to peace. He's promised you to give you peace. He hasn't called you to chase after it. He hasn't called you to go pursue peace. He's called you to pursue him. In the process, he's going to show you some things about him. In the process of amidst your storm, he's going to give you the peace that you so desperately need. He's going to show you the peace that you so desperately long for. I don't know where you're at this morning, but you do. You feel it. You know your struggle all too well. Some of you, you need help. You need others that are in the boat there with you in your stormy season to awaken to you and to give you their shoulder, to cling to someone, to cling to someone during that stormy season. If you're here this morning and you're the cause of your own storm, you made some mistakes, God has forgiven you, and He's there in that boat with you. He's going to help you navigate through this storm. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for Your consistency, even when we're not consistent. Lord, we thank You that You are faithful, that You, and only You, is worthy to navigate the boat. You're the only one that is worthy to take charge. We love You, Lord, so much. We thank You so much, Lord, for everything You do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.